Okay. So I want to bring everybody up to speed. Danielle doesn't know.
Including me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Danielle doesn't know this yet. We are actually recording episode 75 of Offbeat Tracks right now. Did you realize that we were up to 75?
I mean, I hadn't thought about it that way, but now that you've mentioned it.
Yeah, well, here we are now. This is why I'm
75.
Up to something. So yeah, I told her that, just to give you the setup, I told Danielle like, what, 2 or 3 days ago to be at my house at 7 o'clock. Here we are. She has no idea why she's here.
I'm wearing a deep plunge jumpsuit because I thought ABBA was going to be here, but that's fine.
No, ABBA is not here, and this has nothing to do with ABBA as
I'm
far
leaving.
As I know. Sorry. But someone else is here. We do have a third party involved in this episode. Hello, third party. Are you there?
I am here.
Identify yourself, please.
My name is Lee DeGeorge. I am a good friend of Max, good friend of the podcast, and I'm also the host of Something Something Birds podcast as well.
Yes. Oh. So I've actually been plotting this with Lee for months. So for our 75th episode,
is this an intervention?
No, of sorts. Lee has concocted an Offbeat Tracks trivia challenge.
Oh,
and
Jesus.
You and I are about to face off against one another.
No wonder you told me to not do any prep. I get it now. You want to win. Anyway.
Yeah, well, Lee kept asking me, too, like, what kind of questions? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't want nothing. No information. I'm not going to get accused of Putin-ing this contest.
Well, that would be fitting for the year. Anyway, hi, Lee. I'm excited you're here. I wish that I would have known.
I'm excited to be here.
I would have had more Red Bull.
I would have had more Red Bull.
Yes. Anyway.
Well, Lee, as far as I'm concerned, I guess I'm just going to hand things over to you since I don't know what we're doing beyond here.
This is fun. So I'm going to kind of explain the rules now. It's very different from what you expect. I've written a bunch of questions. Now, for each question, there are two actual questions. There's a hard question and an easy question. So both of those questions will have the same answer. If you want to answer after hearing the hard question, it's worth 10 points. If you want to pass and wait for the easier question, it's only worth 5 points. However, if you lock in your answer after the 10-point question, you cannot change it after you hear the 5-point question.
I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to lose. And I guess because I go big or go home. Like, I don't
gotcha.
Know.
So you're going to read the hard question, and then we get to choose whether or not we want to lock in an answer or wait.
Correct.
Oh, I love it. Okay.
And this is also good because even if you both lock in the 10-point answer, I will read the 5-point question for the listeners at home as well.
Yeah, so that way we can feel bad about our decisions potentially. I love it. Let's just have some regrets. Let's go. Yeah. Ready for it.
There's a midpoint question. And there's a final question. There is no wagering involved at any time, so you don't got to worry about anything like that.
God. Thank goodness.
Because I always bet it all.
Yeah, I hate wagering too. Too much of a handicap.
So if it's all right with the both of you, do you want to get started?
Let's do it,
Lee.
Let's
roll it. Come on.
Okay. So question one for 10 points, and you don't have to answer it for 10 points if you don't want.
Do I have to like buzz in?
No, we're writing.
No,
it
you're,
down.
You're gonna.
Okay, good. Okay.
Right. It's like so. Yeah, we're gonna do it where like where circling is locking in, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Okay, I'll figure this out.
Okay, so question one for 10 points: The Ballad of Sir Frankie Crisp, in parentheses, Let It Roll, was a song written and performed by what artist? This artist wrote the song as a tribute to Frank Crisp, a 19th-century lawyer. And the original owner of Friar Park, the house that the singer purchased in 1970.
Ooh.
Man, I have a really good fucking guess. I kind of just want to do it.
I had a really good thought when he said that at first. I thought, oh, man, okay, but it's not the person who I was thinking it was, so.
I'm going to be, said this, okay, just quick, that you said that the guy bought in 1970, right?
Correct.
I kind of just want to go big or go home.
So you can lock in, but I'm not going to. I'm going to wait and hear the easy question. So you can lock in your response. But if you do that, you're locked.
I'm okay with losing, but I'm like not okay with playing it safe. That's the way I am in life.
Oh, okay.
I'm also not okay with losing, but I'd rather go big or go home. It's more fun for the listeners, right?
Well, I'm going to have to change up my playing style if I'm going to get anywhere in this. So I'm going to have to be more of a tortoise than a hare, I think. All right.
So if I circle it, I'm done.
You circle it, you're locked in. Right.
I circled it.
And Lee's going to read the 5-point question for the idiots, including me.
It may be also okay. Me too. Who knows?
So your 5-point question is, this singer had a number one hit with the double A-side single of My Sweet Lord and Isn't It a Pity in 1970.
Okay.
I
am Sir.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So now would you...
Okay, Danielle, you locked in for 10 points. What did you answer for 10 points?
Not George Harrison. We'll put it there. No, I was thinking, okay, my thinking on that, my answer is based on, there was some crazy shit that happened in a house in London, like a lot. Like, that's where, like, Mama Cass died, and, like, all these, like, Keith Moon stayed there. And I was thinking, this guy bought this house. Ringo Starr stayed there, actually, too. It's so connected. 1970, small world. Anyway, it was Harry Nilsson's house.
Oh.
So I was thinking, and that sounds like something dumb that Harry Nilsson would write, like the Ballad of Frankie.
Yes,
Frisk.
It does.
Yeah. So I was like, you know what? Maybe it's that weird house that I think is weird, but it's not Harry Nilsson, so cool.
Okay. Well, I locked in George Harrison.
And the correct answer for 5 points for Max is George Harrison.
Yeah.
I like my answer a lot. I should get some sort of credit for overthinking it. But I got too close.
I thought that was a real good. I know that was a real good response. It just wasn't the right one. Sorry about that.
That's some sweet participation trophy comment you just gave me. I love it.
I'm trying to find a nice way to phrase the fact that you got no points and Max is winning.
He's nice. He's too nice for this show, Max. Anyway, I'm going at
so,
it.
So, question number two, for 10 points. I Know There's Something Going On was a hit song in 1982 by the former lead singer of what 70s pop band?
Okay, well, we're going to both ump by 10 on this one. We're locked. That's pretty funny.
You want the singer, right? Yeah.
You know, he said the band.
The band
that she was the lead singer of.
Oh, okay, all right. Well, I didn't know if, like, okay, never mind. Go ahead, got it.
Yes. Okay, we're both locked in, Lee, but if you want to go on and read the 5-point question... Mm-hmm.
This four-letter band won the Eurovision Song Contest in 1974.
Yeah, they did.
And gets its name by taking the first letters of each band member's name.
Okay, wait, let's impress it. Let's run them down. It. So it's Annie Fried, who's saying I Know There's Something
Benny,
Going On,
Fried.
And Bjorn. And Agneta. ABBA.
ABBA's correct. 10 points for the both of you.
I've heard of them. That was a very good question. More of those, Lee. That's very good.
I tried not to crack up when Max told me that you thought it was an ABBA reunion. And I'm like, oh no, question number two is about ABBA.
Yeah, I'm telling you, like, I say it sometimes on the show and I don't get to do it very often because ABBA's not very offbeat. But my love for ABBA is insane. Everything is about ABBA.
It's true.
ABBA and Nixon for me.
ABBA and Nixon, unparalleled.
Anyway, okay. Question three. I'll shut up.
Question three, I need the real name of this person, please. This lead singer of Kajagoogoo teamed up with Duran Duran keyboardist Nick Rhodes to help produce and create the smash hit Too Shy.
So you want the real name?
I am locked in.
And I gotta remember his fake name. It's a real name. Is that his real name? I don't know if that's his real name or not.
Well, you can wait and hear the 5-pointer.
I'm either going to know his real name or not.
Because if I'm wrong, and then you get the 5, we'd be tied. Just saying.
I'll just wait for the...
Yeah, see, look at you playing it smart.
I hate this.
Anyway. Okay, Danielle, for 5 points.
Mm-hmm.
While working as a solo artist, Lamal, which is his stage name, was actually an anagram of his last name.
Oh, boy. I didn't know that one. Okay. Well, let me... I feel like this is a word puzzle.
It kind of is.
I like the way that looks. I just made up a name.
Okay.
No! Oh my god, no, that makes more sense. There we go.
Okay.
Sorry. What about Hamill? Is that his last name?
That's what I locked in. I locked in Hamill as well.
Yeah, Hamill.
Hamill is the correct answer. Yes. Good job, both of you.
I almost had Amhill, but then I looked and I was like, oh no, Hamill. That makes more sense. Yay.
I'm glad I didn't have to say that. I couldn't remember what his first name was. I would have said Nick if I had to guess, but I couldn't remember
what his
first
name. Do you know his first
what
name?
What is his first name?
His first name is Christopher.
Christopher. Okay. There you go.
Christopher Hamill.
That's cute.
I just remembered the Limahl Hamill thing.
I never even thought about that not being a real name, or he was just Limahl. That's his name. Anyway.
That is probably the whole Never Ending Story song is probably one of my favorite songs ever recorded.
It's pretty good.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah, like everybody loves that, don't they?
And the Homestar Runner Never Ending Soda version is also.
That's what I always sing when I hear it.
I know.
That
how can you
life.
Not?
Yeah.
Okay, so question four. This colorful song, co-written by Iva Davies and John Oates from Hall & Oates, was a number 7 Billboard charts hit in 1987.
Colorful song in 1987.
Ooh. I'm like TikToking through lots
by,
of...
By
I,
Davies
I love,
and Oates.
I love 1987 also.
I know, I'm just trying to think of... let's see. I'm going to think of colors here.
Oh, that's too early. I'm like, I thought of a good one. That was like 3 years too early. So, no, can't be that. I think I'm going to refrain, and I think I'm going to wait for the 5 on this.
That's not a song. I just made up a good song. That would have been a great song in 1987. You know what? I'll wait for the 5, too. I'm not creative right now.
Okay, so for 5 points, even 20 years later, Triple M still considers this Ice House song to be one of the most requested radio tracks in Australia.
Oh, God, what is...
I am locked in.
I am so bad at Ice House.
If it's the one that I'm thinking of, I did not know John Oates wrote that. That's crazy. Okay.
I didn't know John Oates wrote anything for Ice House. What is the name of the song? Because I'm not very good at Ice House, and I always forget that they exist. So what is the name of the song that I turn over sometimes when it comes on? Oh, God. I know the color. You're going to have it. Ooh, I'm going to make up a name, though. Here we go. What's the correct answer, Max?
Well, are you? What did you write down?
It's blue something. It's blue lightning is what I just made up. Which
you
would
got
be
half
a great
credit.
Song.
I think the song he's asking for is Electric Blue.
Yes, that's it.
The song I'm asking for is Electric Blue. Excellent job.
Yes, that's the song I turn over. No offense, Ice House fans. He just never spoke to me.
Whenever that song comes on the radio, I am required to sing it at the top of my lungs.
Yeah, that's the only way to sing that song, because it's like barely in that guy's vocal range. So mercy on the soul of whoever else sings it.
There are a lot of songs like that. A lot of them.
Okay, question 5. For 10 points. Jimmy Somerville fronted what band that consistently tackled issues that the gay community was facing, both socially and politically?
Oh, man. Okay, I've got 2 in my head. All right. You know what? I'm go big or go home. I'm going to go the Danielle approach on this one. I am locking in for 10 points.
I'm going 5. I have an idea, but I'm not that sure of it. I think I'm confusing it with something else, so I'm going 5 you go big or go home.
I'm taking my comfortable lead right now because I'm 15 points ahead, so
yeah, well,
I'm going for
it. I'm inching up. It's the long game.
Okay. For 5 points. Small Town Boy, a song about a young gay man leaving his homophobic family and community, was a number 1 dance song on the Billboard charts by this band.
Yes, I'll get my 5.
Yes.
I'll get my 5.
I locked in with Bronski Beat.
As did I.
And that is the correct answer. 10 points for Max, 5 points for Danielle.
That's not who I thought it was, by the way, so I'm glad I did not try to make that up.
I had it locked down to, I knew it had to either be Bronski Beat or the Communards.
See, I was thinking the Communards, and I was like, but that doesn't seem quite right. Yep. So I'm glad I didn't. Good. Because I might have gone.
Okay, question 6. For 10 points, this 80s singer shares both his first and last name with a former professional baseball player playing for the Milwaukee Brewers from 2004 to 2013.
Okay, do you want to know how much I know about baseball?
Did we say if he was the front person of a group, or you just said this 80s singer, right? We didn't establish solo.
Yeah, this 80s singer shares both his first and last name with a former professional baseball player playing for the Brewers from 2004 to 2013.
I know one Brewers player.
Was the lead singer of Ice House's name Nomar Garcia Parra?
That was a Red Sox. Come on.
I don't know. Baseball, right. Yeah, I watch a lot of baseball.
I don't watch any baseball, but I do know one Brewers player who played there for a long time, but if that was a singer, I do not know it.
Was there a baseball player named Lamal?
And my favorite baseball player is Simon LeBon.
Mine is Cindy Lauper. Now batting for the Milwaukee Brewers, Stacey Q. I don't think that's right.
Stacey is a dude name.
It is. Maybe it is. Yeah. That'd be funny if it was.
If his last name was like Q, yeah, like or line.
Or like C-U-E, yeah.
Yeah, Stacey, yeah. I think we figured it out. We don't need that five-pointer.
Or he was Latino, and it's like short for Stacey Quintanilla. I think we're on to something. All right, no, I'm waiting for the five on this.
Yeah, I'm going five.
In case I haven't
five.
Made that completely obvious.
For 5 points, his 1984 album, First Offense, contained arguably his most famous song, Sunglasses at Night.
Oh. God. Okay, locked in.
Wait, what is his last name?
No. Oh, and it's important, too. We're talking about people from the 80s with that name. The last name is important.
Oh, there it is. That's why I see I always get him confused with the other people who had the same last name, who were famous at the same fucking time. Anyway, okay. Got it now.
Yes. All right. What?
I got Corey Hart on this one.
Yes, I also locked in Corey Hart.
See, I always get him and Corey Haim confused, and I was like, there was a baseball player named Corey Haim? That's not right.
Corey Hart is the correct answer. 5 points for the both of you.
Woo-hoo. Yay! It's not Prince Fielder. He did not sing. Prince Fielder did not sing in the 80s.
Corey Nomar Garcia Parra Hart.
I was like, maybe Prince changed his last name to Fielder at some point in the 80s, and no one knew it. Anyway, question something.
Question seven, which is the last question in the first half.
Wait.
For 10 points. The etymology for this relatively odd band name is from the Monty Python skit called Rock Notes, where Rex Stardust, the lead electric triangle player, had to get his elbow removed after falling off a motorcycle.
Whoa.
Okay.
Run through that one more time for me, Lee.
Yeah, that was a lot.
Sure. The etymology for this relatively odd band name comes from the Monty Python skit called Rock Notes, where Rex Stardust, the lead electric triangle player, had to get his elbow removed after falling off of a motorcycle.
I'm just writing down weird band names now. Every weird band name I can think of.
They're falling off of a bicycle. Elbow. Just trying to work it out here.
Yeah, right? I mean, that's the thing. There are so many bizarre, like, especially once you get into New Wave. There are so many weird band names.
Yeah, I mean, like, what do we define as weird?
Yeah, right?
Oh, boy.
What if he's pulling a fast one and it's Gotcha Cuckoo?
That would be everything so, is about Limahl.
That would be so mean. No, all right. I'm going to wait for the five.
I'm going to wait for the... I have an idea, but it also doesn't make sense.
I have a short list of possibilities, but I'm not comfortable enough to lock in, so...
We'll go five on this one. Let's go.
Okay, so for 5 points, Fear, F-E-A-R, is this band's 1992 album, which spawned two minor hits, Walk on the Ocean and All I Want.
Okay, I am locked in. That was not on my short list, so.
That was not at all what I was thinking.
Glad I did not at least lock in. Okay. I have locked in with, are you ready, Danielle? Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. I've locked in with Toad the Wet Sprocket.
As have I.
And that is the correct answer. Good job to the both of you.
Sweet.
Hooray. Toad the Wet Sprocket is weird, by the way, because they have like these little hits. But like they were just kind of like this crazy jam band, right? Like before that. Didn't they just like do like crazy jam band stuff and then suddenly they make this album and become hits and then people would go to their concerts and be super disappointed? I think that's a thing.
I think that was a fairly common like 90s story.
Well, yeah, but like they were like really just jam band.
There were a lot of really obnoxious jam bands in the 90s.
Well, I think we know how you feel about jam bands.
The first time I went to a Toad the Wet Sprocket concert was 1998, so I was 18 years old. And I was expecting them to be a pretty typical, you know, 90s pop band, and they were not.
See,
and
that's what
it was
saying.
One of those moments where you're just like, I kind of dig it, but everyone else is as confused as I am, so I don't necessarily know what's going on.
See, the reason that Lee is qualified enough to put together this quiz is because he can, with complete earnesty, say the phrase, the first time I went to a Toad the Wet Sprocket concert.
Yeah, I like it. But yeah, no, I had always heard that. I'm glad that he confirmed that, because I always heard that like when they became famous, people would go to their concerts and be like, wait, this isn't what I'm hearing on the radio.
That's yeah. Pretty funny.
And they just never really changed it. They were like, well, we're going to confuse everyone for the rest of our lives. And I'm down for it. Anyway.
So as of right now, going into the midpoint question.
We don't need to hear this.
Max has a 20-point lead. Max has 50 and Danielle has 30.
I didn't know I had 30. That's pretty cool. So that means I'm going big this whole time.
Okay.
Unless I really just have no idea.
Bring it on.
Let's go.
So the midpoint question is a real shout out to our friends across the pond. What is the first thing that most people from the United Kingdom say when an American says that A-ha is a one-hit wonder band?
They get not true.
Is there like a specific phrase that they say?
No, nothing. They just get really angry.
Yes.
And I have a lot of friends that get incredibly angry whenever anyone says, well, A-ha's a one-hit wonder band because all they ever had was Take On Me.
No, it's not true.
In this case, according to the UK charts, A-ha has 8 other tracks which have made the top 10 across the pond.
Oh, my.
For five points each, name any 4 of them.
Oh, Jesus, I can't do 4.
Okay.
God. How many points each?
If you get one, you get 5 points. Yeah, if you get 1, you get 5. If you get 2, you get 10, etc.
Oh, my God.
Last time I listened to
I'm writing down one that I can... No, I can think of 2 that are even good guesses, but I don't... I mean, good God.
One of them is a song that I don't know if I even remember the title of it, right?
Oh, my.
There's one.
I don't know if I have no idea if our buddies from the band Freeze Pop ever listened to our show. If you've never listened to Freeze Pop, by the way, they're an American synth pop group from Boston. You should absolutely listen to them. They are the best synth pop band since the 80s, bar none. Like, no one else is even close. But they love A-ha. Like, have seen them live many times, I believe. They would be shouting answers into their telephones listening to this right now. Oh my gosh, I
can think of, it's been so long since I like actively listened to A-ha that I can only come up with one title, and I'm not necessarily sure it's theirs, and I'm not necessarily sure if it's theirs that it's the right words that are in the title.
You know what's really sad is that I can even remember there's one guy in the group named Paul Wachtar. I can remember that, but I can't freaking remember 4 A-ha songs to write down on this sheet of paper.
There's one song I can see the video in my head, and I don't know. That dude from A-ha, like that lead singer, super hot, by the way.
Oh, yeah. God. Yeah, he was a babe.
Hot as hell. That should be the answer to this question.
Yes.
True or false is the lead singer of A-ha super hot.
Answer, yes.
It's true.
That might be Paul. That might be our good friend, Mr. Wachtar.
That would be Mr. Wachtar. Mrs. Wachtar.
Mrs. Wachtar. Okay, crap. Well, I'm going to just have to lock in 3 because I can only think of 3.
I'm only locking in 1 because I didn't have enough Red Bull to come up with names of A-ha songs. Because someone told me.
Oh, man, this was a tough
not
one.
Not to prep.
I did. It's true.
Okay, Danielle, what is your one lock-in?
Okay, I can't remember the name of this song, but it's something about TV. I just remember.
That's what you've locked in?
No.
Did you write?
It does not say something about TV.
Okay.
Is it like TV makes the superstar or something?
Okay, is that what you've
something like? Yes, and then I quit because I'm a quitter.
All right,
I'm a quitter. Quitter.
If she had a towel, it literally would have been thrown across the room.
I do have a glove in my purse. I will throw it down.
I think it would be more appropriate if you, like, slap me with the glove since we're challenging. Yeah, there you go. Okay. All right. So here were the three I wrote down. I am probably confusing this with a Falco song, but I wrote I wrote Jenny. I don't know if AHA had a song called Jenny.
They might have.
But I think that was something that was stuck in my head for some reason. So I wrote down Jenny. I wrote down the Bond theme that they did for The Living Daylights. And I wrote down the one that I think you were thinking of, which was The Sun Always Shines
on TV.
That's it,
The Sun Always Shines. TV Makes a Superstar is somebody's song, by the way, and I don't know whose it is. Yeah, The Sun Always Shines on TV. That's the other one that gets played here.
Yeah.
Because I turn it over sometimes.
So Max stumbled upon the two tracks that actually charted in the United States, which is The Sun Always Shines on TV and The Living Daylights. So Max does get 10 points. Danielle, I'm sorry you don't get any.
I didn't want any. I'm going for the late comeback, so that's how it goes.
The other songs are Train of Thought, Hunting High and Low.
Yes, that's the other big one.
Yeah. Hunting High and Low was the name of the album. Dang.
I've Been Losing You, Cry Wolf, Stay on These Roads, and Analog. In parentheses, All I Want.
Oh, man, that sounds awesome,
That sounds
too.
Like a terrible good song.
Oh, that was a great question, Lee. But
that was very good.
We did not do AHA justice. Uh-huh. Hashtag justice for AHA.
Not all AHAs. Anyway.
So at this point, Max has 60 and Danielle has 30 going into the second
half. Okay, can I just object to keeping reading the scores? Like, it's just silly. Anyway.
Okay.
Late comeback.
It's definitely possible. So for 10 points, question number 8. Mm-hmm. When this song was initially released in 1997, it was a very minor UK hit, mm-hmm. charting at number 60. The following year, after it was remixed by Fatboy Slim, it hit number 1 on the UK charts. What song was it?
I am going to go 10, probably stupidly, but I am locking it in. I think I know the answer to this.
Hold on, I gotta think about it in a minute. I gotta go in my like. I'm gonna stick with 5 on this one, because
okay.
What happened to Go Big or Go Home?
You know what? Okay. It's the long game again.
All right.
So sick of all of this sass I am getting. Anyway.
Okay, so for 5 points, this song by Corner Shop was an homage to a prolific Indian recording artist.
I think I knew it better on the 10. Now I have the 5 and I'm like, what?
I'm trying to remain poker faced over here because I don't want her to know if I'm really regretting my decision or if I'm very happy.
It's not
right
going
to
matter. I either know it or I don't. Let's do. It says released in 97. I've given up on my life in general, so this works in this game. So,
all right, what did you lock in with?
It's not Rockefeller Skank.
Rockefeller Skank.
It's not.
So,
what could be?
Fatboy Slim was really prolific in this era.
Yes.
But I also tend to kind of get them confused with Junkie XL.
Yeah.
Also known as JXL. When they remixed, they had a big hit with Little Less Conversation. But I was pretty sure that was later on.
It was. That was Ocean's 11 soundtrack.
So I'm feeling pretty good that right now I've locked in the Corner Shop song Brimful of Asha.
That sounds Indian.
That is the right answer. Great job, Yay. Max.
I don't want to hear the scores.
Brimful of Asha on the 45. I love that song.
I think it's dumb. It's a dumb song.
It is a dumb song.
I've actually honestly never had an opinion on that song. It just comes on sometimes. But now I hate it. I hate that song.
All right. Scratches Corner Shop off the episode's possibilities list.
It'll just be me yelling the whole time. Anyway, here we go. Here's my questions here.
My question 9 for 10 points. This song, famously sampling the Andrea True Connection, was a number 9 hit in 1999.
I'll lock in for 10.
Yes, as will I. All right, Lee, I think we're going to both lock in, so if you want to go on and read the 5, go just ahead.
This song by Len was considered the song of the summer by many critics, semi-ironically referencing the song's title.
I'm going to be honest. Like, I loved this. I remember the first time I heard this song, and I was just, in a mall, and I heard it on the radio, and I was like, this is the song. Like, yeah. I've never heard a song that was more me in my life.
The mall was the best place to, like, listen to this song.
Like, I was in a store, and I was like, what is that? And then I was like, that is my song. I don't know what the fuck it is, but I love it. Anyway.
You cannot get more late 90s culture than this song to me. The album art is, like, this very graffiti, like, you know, like, gross, like, they're all, like, kind of hanging out on a street corner, and there's, like, graffiti on this brick wall behind him. And the album is called You Can't Stop the Bum Rush.
Yep.
And the song in question is Steal My Sunshine.
It is.
Both of you get 10 points for that. Steal My Sunshine.
Also, how, like, that Andrea Tree Connection little, like, bridge
thing. How cool was
that? It's so perfect. Like, that's by far the best part of that song. Because that song's, like, kind of dumb.
They literally took, like, the 10 seconds of another song and made an entire song.
Let's make the hit part of this song a whole song. Yeah, and exactly. And there we go. Got it. Yeah. Love it.
Whoever heard that and thought to do it is a genius. Love it.
Good job for the both of you. Here comes question 10. For 10 points. In an episode of The Office, this song, which hit number 2 in 1978 on the U.S. Billboard charts, was cited as one of Michael's favorite Bruce Springsteen songs, even though it wasn't by Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, man.
Did you ever watch The Office, Max?
Oh, yeah. I've watched it through twice, but goodness, I cannot remember this, and my brother's going to be so mad, because my brother would have yelled the answer before Lee finished the question. He's obsessed with The Office.
I'm writing down a guess, and I kind of just want to, because I know off the top of my head a number 2 song in 1978. At least I'm pretty sure it was
that someone
two.
Could mistake for a Bruce Springsteen
no,
song.
No, I mean, you had to be dumb, but well, I mean, Michael's Bruce Springsteen kind of sucks.
You did say go big or go home. Not that I'm encouraging you. I don't want to be accused of goading.
No, not. I'm just going to write it.
I'm definitely goading her into going big.
You know what?
Wait, I forgot that whispering into the mic doesn't mean that just Lee can hear me because you
I can hear you.
On.
Yeah, I know what you're doing.
Sorry.
I understand the tricks of men. Yeah, whatever. Let's go for the 5.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You're not locking in? Okay. All right. I'm waiting for 5 also. I'm not locking in.
For 5 points. This song by Randy Newman is one of his least favorite songs that he's ever recorded, calling the song about prejudice a bad break.
Got it. Shit.
Well, I'm going to lock in the only Randy Newman song that I know of.
Okay. I watched I love that he thought that this was Bruce Springsteen. I don't know if this is correct, but I've been rewatching Ally McBeal. And last night, the episode where this song was in there, it was about this song, this whole episode, basically. Is it Short People?
That is also what I locked in.
It is Short People.
Yeah, there's an Ally McBeal episode where Richard's uncle dies, and he hated short people, and there was, like, a whole big argument about whether the church would let the short people prejudice be, like, part of the ceremony, and Richard was like, no, that's part of him. He has to make fun of short people, and they get the choir in the end to sing Short People, and everyone in the church loves it. Anyway.
Oh, my gosh. That's so Ally
McBeal. I love Ally McBeal. Anyway.
Everyone wants to know, Danielle, was that the song you were thinking of?
No.
Oh, so okay. What was it? What were you thinking of?
So there are, like, songs I listen to over and over, and maybe I shouldn't, but I love them, and, like, I have a thing for Leo Sayer.
Oh, yeah, you do. That's accurate.
You Make Me Feel Like Dancing is a great song, and I'm going to be honest with you, that's me and my stupid idiot boyfriend song. So
really?
I know. It's, aww, like, the only thing we can agree on is that that song is awesome, and Leo Sayer rules. Everything else we disagree on.
I was going to say, you're really not kidding about that being the only thing you two seem to agree
on. Yeah, that
on.
Is it. Yeah, that's about it. Anyway, it was Leo Sayer, but I did not lock that in. No, that'd be funny if they thought that was Bruce Springsteen as well.
Yes, it would.
I think I might start saying that. My favorite Bruce Springsteen song is
You Make Me Feel Like Dancing.
That's what I start doing. Anyway.
Just like my favorite 80s frontman is Nomar Garciaparra.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is what we call a callback.
That's right. It.
Good say job. It. Okay, question 11. The lead singer of what 80s band has served post-music as the following? Member of the Australian Parliament, Minister for the Environmental Protection Agency, and the Minister of Schools and Early Education.
What was the beginning of that again?
The lead singer of what 80s band has served post music as the following: member of the Australian Parliament, minister for environmental protection, and the minister of schools and early education.
Whoa. I kind of want to go big, even though I have no reason to.
Well, you know, this would be a good question for you to do it on. I'm goading her again. This would be a good question for you to do it on because Australian 80s bands, they're not the biggest pool
and
in the
world.
And
you know Michael Hutchence is dead, so...
Yeah, it ain't him.
Then take that one out. Spoiler alert.
Wow.
What? He's dead?
I'm so sorry. Don't read about it.
I'm kidding. Yeah, right.
It'll ruin your whole life.
Dang. All right. Yeah, I'm going to wait for the five.
You know, I'm just locking in because I can lock in. So
you're locking in?
I'm locking in because I got to make the move. Okay. I'm running out of questions, Max. I got to make the move.
All right. Well, I will stay with the doofuses on question five or the 5-point question, please.
Oh, never mind.
That was a good job calling all of your listeners doofuses who did not get it after the 10-point question.
They love the abuse.
I included myself.
This band's biggest hit was off of their 1985 album, Diesel and Dust.
Well, I'm sure I'm wrong on this one.
Oh. So wait, are we looking for the band or the lead singer?
I think the band.
We're looking for the band.
Okay, good. I locked in a band, but...
Well, I'm probably not going to get this right because that is not ringing a bell.
It might be. I kind of wish I went with my second guess.
I think this band is Australian and that sounds like the title of an album they might release. So I have locked in.
Go ahead, Max.
I answered Midnight Oil.
And Danielle, what did you answer?
Not Midnight Oil. That sounds better than mine. I have Air Supply, so that ain't going to happen.
Oh, Air Supply. Shit.
And then I was thinking.
Are they Australian?
Yes. I didn't know that until like a year ago.
Huh.
Because like I was at a trivia night and they were like, this Australian band. Then they started naming all these songs. And I was like, those are all Air Supply songs, right? Like, who covered all these Air Supply songs? That was from Australia. And then I was like, are they Australian? Yeah, that's how I found out.
I did not know that.
Yeah, but it's not Air Supply. Midnight Oil makes sense.
I also thought Crowded House, but I did not lock in with Crowded
House. I thought Two Little River Band. They're also Australian.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right, Lee.
So here's what you need to know. Their biggest hit was about how the Aboriginals were being forced off their land.
You jerks.
Yes. And they were. And then they ask us in a really, really classy way, how can we dance while our world keeps turning?
That's right.
How do we sleep while our beds are burning? The answer is Midnight Oil. Yay. Excellent job.
That used to be Max's AIM away message thing. I remember that in college. Like when sleeping, it was like, how can we sleep while our beds are burning?
That does sound
and
like something.
You were like, well, I'm making it work or something.
Do you remember in high school how my voicemail message was the beginning of Two of Hearts? And when she was like, I need you, and I pulled the phone away to leave a message.
Yes, I do remember that. I kind of want to change mine to be like that.
Yeah, right.
My phone's my work phone, so it ain't gonna work. Actually, it might work anyway. Who cares? Maybe it'll get them to hang up thinking it's not me. Anyway,
the dream.
Anyway, so that's cool. That's 5 more points for him. I don't need to know the score. Got it. Big or go home. Go.
I'm not gonna give you the score. I promise.
There is no score. Got it.
So there is no score. Question 12, worth 10 points. In the 1990s, Nullsoft created an MP3 player called Winamp, and their slogan was, it really kicks the llama's ass. Which cult music sensation is Winamp referencing?
Whoa.
Really, cult music?
What a good question.
So you said cult music sensation.
Cult
music
sensation.
Yeah, I'll read it again. In the 1990s.
Oh, my God, I have an answer. I'm locking this in. What the hell? I'm far enough ahead. You know what? Yes, I'm going to make sure I got the last. Okay, yes, I am locked the F in.
So cult music sensation.
Okay, so in the 1990s, Nullsoft created an MP3 player called Winamp, and their slogan was, it really kicks the llama's ass. Which cult music sensation is Winamp referencing?
Dude, Lee, if the answer is what I wrote down, this is offbeat to an extreme. This is like mega offbeat. But I'm feeling confident about my answer. So.
I'm going 5.
Okay.
Because who cares?
Okay. So, for 5 points, diagnosed with schizophrenia and playing an outdated keyboard, who consistently told his listeners to rock over London, rock on Chicago?
I don't even know if I know this.
Oh my God.
Rock over London, rock on Chicago? Well, it's definitely not what I was thinking in the 10 point, if it's a human and not a band. I don't even know what to guess. I'm not in this cult, whatever this cult is, that's for sure.
Max, I'm going to assume you have the right answer. Yeah, after the podcast, please, please play for Danielle.
Yes.
Unless I've heard it's just something I forgot I've heard, and I don't know this Rock Over London. I'm just making a joke answer. This is a
Are
joke
you locking
answer.
In?
Sure.
What's your answer?
Paul McCartney.
Okay.
It's not.
Well, I'm going to do the opening lines from my favorite song by this person, which is called They Threw Me Out of Church. The opening lines of which I believe are... last Sunday, I was cursing in Daniel's Chapel AME Zion Church. I called one of the deacons a motherfucker.
I like this person.
He is a goddamn legend, and his name was Wesley Willis.
Rest in peace, Wesley Willis. That is the correct answer.
Oh, I've never heard of him. Also, now I just found out he died.
Yes.
This is... It's a lot of information.
He's a very interesting story because he, like Lee described, he would tour around. He got toured around these college campuses, and he would just play these Casio keyboards, and he would just play the little demo songs, and just basically his songs were just all about either things that he really loved or things that he really did not like. Or occasionally they were just like threats, like "I whooped Batman's ass" is one of his songs. "You Better Find My Pistol" is another one. That's a good one. But it's like kind of this fine line between, like, some people thought that he was being exploited and some people thought, you know, he was really getting paid for his art. But it's very interesting. And he also, his big thing, if you were lucky enough to see him before he died, after the show, people would line up and they would go up on the stage and he would headbutt them. That was like how they said hi to them. And not like a violent, like, bang, but like you would go up and you would rest your forehead against his and... Not like he liked to knock foreheads with people. That's how he was.
This is a strange cult.
That's how he was. That's he. You know, he just seemed like a really sweet guy who loved music. And
what happened? How did he die?
I don't know.
Oh,
but
he was. He was unfortunately really ill. The schizophrenia along with other mental illnesses really unfortunately took hold of him.
And
one other thing about Wesley Willis, which is really interesting, is that he was a prolific artist with a pencil as well. And his art now sells for exorbitant amounts of money. He was able to kind of see a location and then go someplace else and draw it basically verbatim. And it was ridiculous. And his art is absolutely collectible as well.
That's really cool.
Interesting.
Well, I'm glad I didn't know this at all. That would make me feel better. It's just some weirdo that I just never knew, like, what his name was. That makes me feel better. So, we can start with more ABBA questions.
Question 13. For 10 points, a rock song by a Canadian rock band was released in 1982 and was a top 10 hit in Canada, but only a minor hit in the U.S. until 1989. When it rocketed to number one on the U.S. Billboard charts. All the while, it never had a music video for MTV, which was unheard of at the time. What band sang that song?
I started to write down the song title. All right, I am going to go on and lock in.
Canadian.
I think I know this.
Rock band, number one. I know who it isn't, even though that's the only band I can think of right now. Canadian rockers. I'll just go for 5 because I can't think of anyone but Rush, and I know it's not Rush. That's the thing, when you really love a band, you think everything is them if you hear Canadian rock. But so yeah, let's just
okay,
go for 5.
So for 5 points. Although many members of this band left to form the supergroup Alias, many of them remember the song "When I'm With You" very fondly and still perform it live when possible. What is the name of the original band?
I'm wrong.
I'm not sure. Okay.
I got it wrong.
Well, that makes me feel like I might get, it's still not Rush. many members of the band. When I'm with you, I don't even know. I feel so dumb. I should have had Red Bull.
You totally know this song.
I probably do. But do I know they're Canadian?
You've heard it late nights in Kroger, I guarantee.
And I can pretty much guarantee that you also sang the song at the top of your lungs as well.
Yes.
Whatever. I'm just going to come up with a name. There we go.
Yeah. What is the name you came up with, Danielle?
Warrant, who it isn't. I don't even think they're Warrant. Canadian.
That is the most ironic guess. Wow. You get Warrant as your... That's hilarious. Okay.
I don't know.
No, that's a very funny guess. No, I thought that Lee was being coy with his language in the initial question, so I guessed Love and Rockets, which is not the correct answer. Because I seem to remember So Alive was recorded several years before it was a hit. I don't think it was number one, though. And I don't know if they're Canadian. But anyway, I remember a few years ago, I don't remember exactly why, but remember Colin Mochrie, the Canadian guy who was on Whose Line Is It Anyway? He posted some YouTube video. I want to say it was probably 2012 election related, but he's like, hey, America, you know us. We're Canada. You like us because of maple syrup and bacon and that one sheriff song that ends on the really high note. So, yeah. I know. It's just funny because I'm pretty sure the answer is sheriff and you answered warrant, which is just hilarious.
Yeah, I don't know.
The answer is sheriff.
I do watch a lot of SVU. Warrants are on my mind.
So the final regular question, question 14.
It's worth 50 points.
For 10. Well, you'll be able to make up some in the final question, so don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. Question 14, worth 10 points. In 1998, which female artist slated to open for the Rolling Stones in Argentina was booed off the stage after the crowd became violent, throwing rocks and tampons at the singer?
Whoa.
Tampons?
Yikes.
1998.
I have an educated guess again.
Argentina.
I'm trying to think of so many reasons. So either this woman did something that... And who was she opening for? I'm sorry, Rolling Stones?
For the Rolling Stones.
Yeah, that's a... Who would fit for Rolling Stones?
Well, I'm trying to think...
You're still opening.
There are a few ways to approach this question. I'm speaking more openly now because of the gap in our scores. I feel comfortable doing so. Mm. So, I can think of one artist in particular who would... Maybe would have not been popular in that
I know who you're talking about
at that time, but I don't remember there being any ill reception about that, and I don't think it would have been over anything like politically in the U.S. somebody like speaking out against Clinton or something like that.
I mean, 1998.
Yeah,
1998.
And I can also think of another artist who was like just kind of seen as a rabble rouser at that time. But I'm kind of tempted to lock in her, but again, I don't know why she would have been opening for the Rolling Stones. That's my thing. I can think of
someone
connecting.
Who can relate to it, but I don't. I would not say open.
I better stick for the five.
Yeah, fuck it.
Okay, so for 5 points. Which singer had her 1997 hit song "Bitch" censored to the title of "Nothing in Between"?
Wow, that
was what I was gonna say, and then I was like,
"Really?"
What? You know, because I was like, "That was
she wasn't even on my list."
Yeah, that was well. My thing was, I was like,
"So
well, I can think Argentina. It's not far after Evita, Madonna, but she would not be opening for the Rolling Stones."
See, that's what I thought. I was like, "Why would Madonna be opening for Rolling Stones?
She'd be co-headlining."
And why would the Argentinians be angry about the Evita
stuff?
Maybe
they just like didn't like her.
The other person that came to mind before I circled my answer was Fiona Apple, who was
I thought of her too, was
a notorious rabble rouser. But okay. So yeah. That's interesting. So
damn it.
All right. Do you want to give your answer first?
Meredith Brooks.
Yeah, that's also what I said.
Meredith Brooks is the correct answer. Good job.
I kind of had like a little moment of panic. I was like, maybe there was another bitch song in 1997. Yeah, I thought of her because I just remember like stuff around that song. And she was like the only one of those ladies at the time that wasn't super Lilith. She had more of a rock edge, so she would fit more with Rolling Stones.
That's
than
a very
the Lilith.
That's
thing.
Very insightful.
But
yes.
I was like, I just didn't think the Rolling Stones would care about Meredith Brooks. But
I'm just having this hilarious
Why
vision.
Why were they pissed at her about the tampons?
I'm having a hilarious vision of like Sixpence None the Richer being booed off the stage in Argentina.
With tampons.
Boo! Go back to the Christian shit!
I don't understand the tampons. That's what I don't understand.
Yeah, why?
Like, if I went to an Eagles concert, I hate them. I still would not throw a tampon at them. Like,
I would. I would peg Don Henley in his dumb face with a whole box of Tampax.
Anyway,
there were thoughts there. No one knows for sure why tampons. The thought process behind when I was researching the question was that people were upset about the song Bitch because it was a song about women's empowerment. And that's why they threw tampons at her.
Come on, Argentina. You're next to Brazil. They're sexually liberated. Get with it.
I've always wanted to go there, but now that I know that they're filthy tampon throwers, I don't know about it.
Well, really, now that I know that they're cold to Meredith Brooks, I think that is enough to judge them as an entire country.
Sorry, Argentinians, we love you. JK.
So as a favor to Danielle, I will not read the scores.
We know who's winning. It's clearly close, anyway.
So the final is worth 5 points each, but you get a 20-point bonus if you get all of them.
Okay, cool.
Oh, God.
I probably won't, but okay, cool. Yeah.
Okay, so this final question is called Whamageddon. For those of you who are not playing Whamageddon, I am actually playing Whamageddon right now, is that you're supposed to avoid Last Christmas by all means possible. And if you hear the song Last Christmas at any point, you're out of the game.
What?
So I have, yeah, so if you hear it in the wild at any point, if you hear Last Christmas, you're out.
And it's
and we have around,
it starts like what, December 1st or does
December it just, 1st, okay. Right.
Oh, yeah, I got you. I've seen this online. Like people just play. It's a thing.
Oh, so this is just. I thought this was like the question.
No. This is
like,
just a thing people play.
If you're gonna play it, I'm gonna lose. I don't understand how this works.
Like I listened to it six times on the way over here.
I actually do listen to it a lot. It's a good song.
So because we all love Wham and we all really do love Wham, I'm gonna give you 5 Wham songs. Your task is to tell me if that Wham song hit number 1 on the Billboard charts or not.
Ooh,
wow. Okay.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
They're worth 5 points each, and there's a 20-point bonus, so you can get 45 points in total if you get them all correct.
Okay.
Okay.
Song number 1. And I'm gonna run through all of them so you can kind of write them down and you can think about them for a little while. Song number 1, Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go. Song number 2, Careless Whisper. Song number 3, Last Christmas. Song number 4, I'm Your Man. And song number 5, Everything She Wants.
Wow. This is difficult.
I'm in.
Okay. Wow.
I don't know if they're right, but that's my
instinct.
Oh, my
gosh. Okay. You're going with your instinct? Okay. Well, let me just make a couple of notes here. You know what?
We're go just, big, go home. After
I guess
this,
I'll go with my first instinct also.
I guess I'll
also.
Go big, then go home.
All right. Lee, you got a couple of hotheads here, so we're both we locked in. I'm not even editing this time down or anything, so that's it. We're locked in.
Okay.
That was crazy fast. Wow. Okay. So, Danielle, for Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go, did that hit number 1?
Yes.
Max, did Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go hit number 1?
No.
The answer is yes.
Boom!
Uh-oh. I'm on the way. Whamageddon, my love.
Number 2, Careless Whisper. Danielle, did
absolutely
that hit number 1?
Absolutely, 100% yes, because it was number 1 the week before I was born. Had I been born on my due date, it would be the number 1 song on my birthday. So yes, 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 yes.
Max, did Carol's Whisper hit number one?
I remembered that same spiel back when we talked about in the George Michael episode. So I also wrote yes.
The answer is yes. Number three, Last Christmas. Danielle, did that hit number one?
Okay, well, this was, this is one of the best-selling songs in England, and I believe it was Christmas number one that year. But I don't think it hit number one in America, so I'm saying no.
I also said no.
It wasn't even close. It hit number 49. That was the top. So no is the correct answer.
Ooh, I'm 3-for-3 over here. Oh my god.
Uh-oh.
Where am I getting? Now this is where it might get weird.
Yeah, well, that's why we did it like this. Number four. I'm Your Man. Danielle, did I'm Your Man hit number one?
I think it should have, but no.
I also said no.
I'm Your Man hit number three on the Billboard charts. The answer is no.
Man. Oh, man. Help me. Help me in heaven, George.
And the final one, Everything She Wants.
See, this is the hard
Danielle, did Everything She Wants hit number one?
This is the hard one. I think it's one of those that hit number one that you don't think hits number one. So I said it did because it should have, but I think it did. I don't know.
Max, did Everything She Wants hit number one?
I had the exact same thought process, and I also said, yes, Everything She Wants hit number one.
Everything She Wants did hit number one. Danielle gets her bonus.
I whamageddon. See, I was a super disappointment the whole time, and then you give me some wham, and I'm in it to win it.
Oh, my God.
It doesn't matter anyway, but that was pretty cool.
No, but you know what? That was a hell of a comeback.
Hell yeah.
You're not even kidding.
So the final scores, Danielle with a very respectable 90 compared to Max's winning 120. Excellent job.
I made up a decent amount there. Good job, Max. Well done. Next time we do this.
Thank you.
Next time we do this, you should let me study a little bit on things that aren't the Bee Gees I've been listening to all fucking week.
Well, next time.
Do you know how many Bee Gees questions there were? Zero.
Next time, I'll let you plot it in secret with Lee, and you can spring it on me. That'll be fair.
I'm going to bring, like, one of my people in on this, and then, like, I mean, I'm not going to tell them to do all Falco and ABBA questions, but I can't help what they write.
So there you go. There's our 75th episode Trivia Spectacular.
Where are you from, Lee, by the way?
New York City.
Is it fun there? Is it cold?
It's freezing right now. It's absolutely terrible.
Here.
But
same here. I'm wearing a jumpsuit that like shows way too much, and I'm going to have an issue later when I go outside.
Woohoo!
I had to change out of a jumpsuit earlier because the nip-nips were a little bit too much.
Yeah, Danielle's entire wardrobe is just jumpsuits. It's like which jumpsuit is appropriate for whatever occasion I'm about to
I've bought five
enter.
Of them in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, see?
Andy Cohen would love it.
Comfort is everything. Comfort is everything.
They're not comfortable.
So I want to say Lee has the best music trivia podcast that has existed and will ever exist and is currently in existence. It's called Something Something Birds. Lee, do you want to tell folks where to find you?
Sure. If you just do a search for Something Something Birds in iTunes or Stitcher, you'll find my podcast. Basically, it is if you are a fan of Name That Tune and you really like just snippets of music and having to name the artist and the title, you're given 8 different songs, and all the songs are connected somehow. Sometimes they're connected by a year, sometimes they're connected by the names, and your job is to figure out what the connection is between the songs as well. So it really stretches your brains. I try my best to pick songs that are offbeat but not completely offbeat, things that people will remember that they might have not thought about for a while, like Wherever You Will Go by The Calling and things like that.
That's
so
a good song.
You know,
I
just try to
says.
Try to get
it's a good song. It's a good song. It's very good.
Oh, it's
anyway,
fantastic.
I was
jamming out to Sleeping Satellite by Tasman Archer the other day.
Heck
and
yes.
I'm like, wow, that's a song.
We did a Tasman Archer episode. Yes,
we
love Tasman.
Also, can I just make a thing about The Calling? I love songs especially from like the 90s, there are a lot of these where you can't just sing along to them. You have to sing it in the dumb way the singer does. It's like, you cannot sing that normally. You gotta, like, you gotta sing it that way.
Yeah, it was something very specific about those few years, wasn't it? Like, what was Breathless by The Coerz? That's another one.
Oh,
you have to wail it like they do. Yeah, exactly.
I love The Coerz, by the way.
There was Wasting My Time by Default, which was another one of those songs that you have to sing it exactly the way the lead singer was singing. Yeah. It's not for real. Afraid to feel. I just hit the floor. Don't ask for more.
Yeah,
just, exactly.
Yeah, I'm going to karaoke after this. Maybe I'll sing everything like The Calling guy. No one will get it.
I think Lee has proven his offbeat track street cred enough with all these references and these incredible questions. Lee, really, we just cannot thank you enough for being here and doing this for us. It was very, very kind and generous of you.
And I'm going to subscribe to your podcast, Lee, because I like trivia podcasts. And if we ever do this again with you, I'm going to know the way your brain works a little better. And then I'm going to study up all my tampon recipients on
Here's the sad part. Max has known me for a while now, and Max, a lot of these were in left field for Max also. I mean, he's like, what?
It's true. I'm still floored by the Wesley Willis reference. I had not thought about him in years. All right. Well, we'll link to Lee's Facebook page and whatnot on our website, which is offbeattrackscast.com. And you can also find us on Twitter.
Yes, we're on Twitter. We are Twitter user OffbeatTracks.
Yes, very good.
Yeah.
So we'll be back next week with a more standard episode, but we hope you enjoyed this. Lee, thank you very much again. You're welcome back anytime, my friend.
You rule, bud.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much.
See you next week.